Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Wow, it's the IGN UK podcast, back for another week. My name's Joe Scrabbles. To my right, Matt Perslow.
Hello.
And to my left, Simon Cardy.
Holla.
2 weeks in a row we've been a trio.
A repeat.
What's going on? No one else feels that they can live up to the standard of our Top Trumps game that was so well received last week. People love that shit.
You got to take chances in life and not everything will be a hit.
Sad,
that's all I have to say.
It's really sad.
I enjoyed it. Yeah,
and that's why we're playing Top Trumps all episode.
Yes,
let's get those rock sound ones out. You know what I'm talking about.
Nah, I'm okay.
So this week, Simon Cardy,
me,
been playing a little detective lawyer game.
Yeah, Phoenix Wright.
Which one?
The remastered trilogy. I started with the first one. I've never played a Phoenix Wright game before.
Good, aren't
and,
they?
And, yeah, they've remastered them. They're coming out, I think, on the 9th, which is next Tuesday.
Go on.
But, yeah, I've played the first, like, two episodes of the first game, so I've got a good grasp of it. I've always wanted to play these games. I don't know. Matt, have you played Phoenix Wright?
So, I've played, I think, the first case of the first one on DS.
Is that with Mrs. Oldbag?
Yeah.
Is Oldbag in
I think
that?
So.
Wendy Oldbag?
I haven't come across
her. You not come across Wendy Oldbag?
No.
She's good.
Good. But you're well-versed in Phoenix, right?
I'm not that well-versed.
Oh,
I've only played
were.
The first one, a bit of Dual Destinies.
Mm.
I've sort of dipped in and out here and there.
Yeah, I've always fancied them because they're my sort of game. And then recently you did your Judgment preview where you compared it to Yakuza.
I did.
Cross with...
Ace Attorney.
See, that sounds my kind of shit.
That's
yeah, I'm into that, and I thought, well, if I'm into that, I'm probably into Ace Attorney, so I wanted to give it a go. And then, voila, they announced the trilogy's remastered for Switch, PlayStation, PC, Xbox, everything.
And you've played the preview.
Yes, I've been playing
the first... Let's make that clear,
yes,
I've only played
the first, like, roughly 3 hours, and I love it. It's very fun.
You love it?
Yeah, it's
amazing.
Good.
You don't object, then?
Oh.
Sorry.
God. Oh, a bit early for that one.
We were so happy that you'd been on 3 episodes in a row.
It's time for me to go.
The streak's over.
But yeah, it's what I expect it to be, but I never realised it went as mad as it does.
Yes, it's very weird.
I thought it was a fairly straight down the line lawyer detective sim.
And from Japan?
I should have known better. And then within 2 hours, I've got talk of ghosts and mediums, and I'm just thinking... Is this valid in a court of law?
I mean, it is in the weird nether country that Ace Attorney takes place
in.
Yeah,
I don't know where, like, it's a weird American-Japanese
They've got the
thing.
Death penalty there.
Yeah.
That's established.
Okay.
Everyone wears, like, Japanese clothes, but in certain games they refer to American places.
Is it San Francisco? Is it Big Hero 6?
It could be San Francisco. He would actually fit in that world as well.
We need a Big Hero 6 Ace Attorney.
I'd love to see Phoenix. Putting Baymax to death.
That's in Kingdom Hearts 4.
Baymax kills.
Did he do it? But it's fun. It's harder than I thought.
Is it?
Well, it wasn't as obvious to me as I thought. Like, I thought it'd be, here's a piece of evidence that directly links to statement.
Right.
There was one point where I was like, I really had to read everything quite closely.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting, it wasn't an O.J. Simpson of the glove. It wasn't just like, oh, that glove didn't fit. Well, it did fit in the end, or didn't it? Who knows? That's a real story.
You've just made the O.J. Simpson case sound weirdly not quite as cut and dry as it was.
Well, did they get the right verdict? That's all I'm saying. I wouldn't play Ace Attorney O.J. Simpson. Yes, if I did it. But no, Ace Attorney is fun from what I've played so far. and I'm looking forward to playing the rest of it soon.
It is a very odd situation to be in where you are in under a preview embargo for a, what, 15-year-old game?
Yeah, like, 10 or 15.
Don't say anything about the end of that.
They might
game.
Have changed the story. I wouldn't know, though.
I think probably not.
Probably not. One thing that does get on my nerves, and I know they're originally a DS game.
Yes.
I can't play that game with the sound on. Because the sound of every time...
What? The sound effects are amazing.
Every time a bit of dialogue, it's just... Dum, 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 dum.
Oh, I quite
it's
like that. It's classic stuff.
I need the voices if the audio's on. Oh, I can't man. Just... I would just put some music on and
but
read.
Honestly, the music in Ace Attorney is some of the best music ever put to games. The but cornered theme is insane.
I do like the big objection sound, which Matt you know, previewed for us earlier.
Yeah.
But I don't need it 20 times in a row.
Well, you don't hear it that much.
I do. I object a lot. I object everything.
That's why you find it so hard. Yeah.
I don't actually get the grasp of the game.
That's fair.
Actually, thinking of it being a DS game originally, like, where's the other screen? Now it's on Switch.
I never knew. Well, what was the other screen?
The other screen was mainly, like, your menu.
Okay. So I think, you just press start and you get that menu screen.
Yeah, so it would usually be, if my memory serves, you'd have, like, the top screen was your stuff going on and your bottom screen was, like, your evidence and your stuff that you're picking through, and you'd see them react on both screens and stuff like that.
It's a good game.
It's quite smart.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I don't know how, in your memory, how does it get harder?
Not
or is
really.
It pretty much that?
It's pretty much that. It's more about the story. Like, it is a visual novel in the classic style.
It does have, like, I've played a bit of Danganronpa and it has those sort of elements to it.
Absolutely. So. And it's one of the earliest times I remember thinking Capcom's well good at localization for English. Like, some of the, like, puns and jokes they make in it are actually very good.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's, like, actually, despite the madness, some of those are very good twisty-turny cases, like courtroom dramas.
Yeah, I assume there's a bit more mystery to it because the two cases I've been involved with so far and successfully completed, because, you know, I am Phoenix Wright after all.
Yeah.
They pretty much show you who did it right at the start.
Yeah. There's also, like, there's more sort of overarching, like, there's a reason for all those cases to be in one game. Like, those things tie together and, Phoenix Wright is a part of, you know, his career establishes.
It does have that moment of, although I know it's 100% scripted and everything, that moment of, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Similar to, we haven't really talked about the last season of Alan Partridge, but there's a very similar moment, which is, I think me and Dale's maybe favourite moment from the whole series is when he's talking to Monty Don from Gardener's World. And he's trying to bribe him for $1 billion. Yeah. And when he says, Alan Partridge is like, would you, like, is it Power Tools or something he's trying to promote or something?
Along those lines, yeah.
And he says, would you do it for $1 billion? And Monty Don says, well, yeah, sure, for $1 billion. And he just goes, and the VO just comes with, I gotcha. it's a great moment, which I've probably not really told very well, but basically, I feel like Alan Partridge in Phoenix, right? So therefore, I'm loving it.
Yeah, that's fair play. I just said fair play.
You did just say fair play. Bit about that coming up later in feedback,
this.
I think.
What? He's ruined it. It was a nice thing I say.
I realised in the pub the other day, I just said to you, fair play. And I was like, it's rubbing off onto me now.
Yeah, I think it's endemic to a lot of our friends.
Yeah.
I think our group says it quite a lot.
Fair play. There's a lot of fair play going on. Like, we don't cheat.
For a while. I bet there's about a 40-episode stretch of this podcast that includes all of us going, unbelievable, a lot. Like, for some reason, everyone started saying unbelievable. That weird viral language thing is very odd. Speaking of games that came out a while ago but are just apparently coming out now, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, which I was watching Let's Plays of 2 years ago.
Is it in early access?
Well, it's now in early access, so what? God knows what it was before.
They were just kind of tech demos.
Fetus
before,
access.
Yeah, it was fetus access. Now it's early access, which is, what I call babies. It's early access to the human they will be later. This just came out on early access and is something that I've been meaning to actually play myself for a while.
Yeah.
Cardi and I came into this very room earlier and pissed ourselves laughing for
amazing.
About an hour.
It is very fun to just watch 50 halflings get mowed down by a Valkyrie.
Yeah, that's
right.
Very good.
So you're going to have to give me, so I know next to nothing about this
Excellent.
Game.
Excellent. Oh,
so I've seen screenshots and I've seen GIFs, because it's a very GIFable game, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So just give me the basic premise of what the fuck do you do in it?
Currently what it is, it's you get given a low poly battlefield split down the middle, red and blue. Pardon me, I'm burping. And in sandbox mode, you just get a list of, at the moment it's like 20, it's probably like 35, yeah, 40 30. Different unit types. Broadly along themes from
mythology and real history.
Yeah,
and
there's like
farming culture.
Yeah, there's like a farming army. There's a sort of medieval-y army. Yeah. There's a Stone Age-y army. It's like Greek.
Yeah.
And one other. Good. Vikings.
Yeah.
And there's like three other armies that they haven't put in yet. And those can be mixed and matched in sandbox mode. You can do what you like with them.
Mm.
And basically, every unit is worth a points cost, kind of Warhammer-y.
Mm-hmm.
But in sandbox mode, you can just put as much as you want on the battlefield.
Yeah.
So we started with like, let's try 4,000 points, and it's like two tiny armies having a skirmish. You know,
you could have like two mammoths going at a wizard. There's not even a wizard. So I put the one thing that's not in the game.
You made me very excited.
Two mammoths can fight Zeus.
Wait, is this the chance for us to settle the like 100 horse-sized ducks versus one?
I mean, well, one day they put them in. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it kind of it's loosely kind of in your head. If you imagine a Total War game, but
totally stupid,
yeah, tossed with gang beasts.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it's kind of like,
this sounds brilliant.
Yeah. And so all you do is you stick these armies down.
Yeah.
So we were taking it in turns to place an army versus another army, and then you just click start and you just watch it play out. And it's like low poly, stupid animation.
And they're all done within a minute, really, as well. So it's nice and quick. You're not sitting there waiting them slowly walk towards each other.
The physics is bad. The AI is bad. Like everything about it is low quality, but completely purposefully. Like it's ragdoll physics going completely insane.
Yeah.
So we did like 4,000 points, then we did like 20,000, and then we went to 100,000, and it didn't run anymore. It just stopped running.
Too many halflings.
But I do really like that it's just like, fuck it, just let them try. We had like, basically, for a long time, Cardi was beating me. We did a sort of winner stays on.
Yeah.
Cardi did like quite a smart, like actually interesting
took all my
setup.
Teenage Total War knowledge to the battlefield.
He had like archers. Nice.
I had two mammoths with some ice archers down the back, four Zeuses in front of them.
You can have
and
as
a
many
whole,
Zeuses.
Whole line of shields, and then I think like a couple. Oh, a scarecrow who fires crows at people.
That's
basically
really weird.
We've quickly found out that the ice archers are OP.
OP as fuck. Like we've had to ban ice archers.
So they freeze people into like the block of ice, and
they just freeze people solid. Right. They turn all blue. And then they can be attacked and do nothing in return. They're very annoying.
Basically, I won about, eight rounds in a row until you beat me?
I was losing my mind.
You found the perfect counter to ice archers is snake archers.
Yeah, and some ice archers of your own as well.
Snakes with bows and arrows?
No. Archers who fire snakes with their arrows.
This is my absolute fucking nightmare. I'm terrified of snakes.
That's so good.
Pissing bit in...
In Sekiro?
Yeah.
Oh, man, yeah.
I was about to decide whether I was supposed to say that or not, but we've just spoiled a very early section
it's
of
really
Sekiro.
Early. That's like an act 2 hours in if you're quite good.
Yeah. No, that bit...
That's not very nice for a phobic. But that by itself was really fun. Like, in our final match, we did 100,000 versus 100,000. That's quite a beefy PC we're playing on. Yeah. Could not deal with it.
No.
But... Cardi, again, to a height, you know, with a lot more scope, built like a very smart army. And all I did was get halflings, which are the weakest thing in the game, and just spread, like, painted them across the entire map to create, like, a front line of just absolute bullshit. And then had, like, lots of quite powerful units behind them.
Yeah.
And all that happened was all your units just got stuck fighting midgets for a long time. And then my mammoths came in and just stomped on it.
And then they got frozen solid.
Yeah.
There's also a campaign mode though, which is kind of like they're like mini puzzle levels basically. So you're given like I don't know as little as 120 points to use, and that's enough for approximately one unit. And you have to choose what.
Sure.
And you see what you have to beat, and you have to like mini little puzzles. They seem we haven't done many of those.
Like the puzzle box kind of missions that are in Wargroove, which is very much like you've got four units and you need to get through it. And they're all very specialized.
It is satisfying, and more than anything, we had a. Like, and I think my favorite is it control you can hold down?
It's just left click.
Left click, you hold down, and it just slows down time.
Like, really slow.
So, when
so
a
you
big...
can make your own sort of John Woo moment.
Exactly,
basically,
yeah.
We had this amazing moment because what we'd done was we had a line. It was basically like a big group of people, and we were like, right, get a catapult, yeah, and that'll just dominate them in one go. But we put the catapult too far back, and as a front line, we used berserkers. I didn't really know what berserkers did.
Turns out they jump about 30 foot.
Yeah, so berserkers' attack is to jump like fucking miles just into people.
Basically like Wolverine.
Yeah, actually, yeah, really like Wolverine.
That's more special.
And so we just watched, like we got really close, and we were waiting for the catapult to fire, and over the top of the camera, this whole, in slow motion, all these berserkers just fly into this group. Big fight happens. And all our berserkers die. There's like four guys left. And we're just watching as the catapult is one man, like in bad physics, trying to strain to pull the catapult back. So he's pulling it back. He hits three more. Then there's one more guy with a pitchfork coming towards our catapult. We're like, he's going to die. He's going to die. Guy's straining. We've got it all in slow motion. Like both of us actually screaming our lungs out. And the catapult just goes... pitchfork guy's right in front of it. The catapult just uses it as like a hammer. It just slams onto his head. We fucking lost it. It was so good.
It was the best moment of my week.
It's actually one of... It's the most I've reacted to a game in such a long time. It's so satisfying. It was great.
And all I'm thinking about now is playing more, to be honest.
Yeah, I can't wait to play more. And if you... Oh, God, I should have written this down. Basically, the creator of the game is called... Nygaard? Ah. Something like... I'll find it now.
He posts
GIFs of him testing parameters. So he'll be like, let's just make one of these units massive and see what happens. Mm. And honestly, he has one of the best Twitter feeds in games. Like, if you enjoy like looking at mad shit that people are making, he is
just
so
like the
much
cool
fun.
3D world Instagram. That's a place to go if you like weird things. I know a few people that love that.
He's Wilhelm Nyland. It's WILNYL is his at address. Oh, he's testing out how to take control of units in first person.
Oh my god,
this looks amazing. Anyway, play Totally Accurate Battle Simulator,
or at the very least, watch videos.
Yeah, just watch tons of videos of it. I like
it's hilarious.
We've got to find a way to put some stuff up.
We'll think of something.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yep.
Speaking of good, do you know what's not that good?
Does it sadden you to say?
It does. It's Jordan Peele's The Twilight Zone.
After a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, you had a lovely chat with him to his face.
Yeah. I'm allowed to do that when I haven't watched the other thing. I didn't hide my opinions.
Now if you met him, you'd have to say, sorry, Jordan, it's not for me.
Sorry, Jordan, the comedian episode is a fucking drag. So The Twilight Zone is back, and I really, really like the original Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. It's something I found or came to quite late, but certain episodes really, really stick with me, as I'm sure most people who enjoy that show. And the reboot sticks the formula quite well. Like, I was worried that it was going to just be Black Mirror-y, but it's still going with the sort of slight supernatural unexplained, like...
Yeah.
It's not trying to be parables about now. Mm-hmm. It's trying to just be parables about humans. Yeah. And it's got like very good casts. The first episode has Kumail Nanjiani's the main character, and who's the lad from 30 Rock who plays the comedian that's horrible?
I haven't seen it, Joe.
He's very famous. Anyway,
Alec Baldwin, he's in it?
No.
Tracy Jordan. There we go.
Is in it as well, and it's a bad episode of television.
Oh, like, no.
The setup is a comedian is given the power that people will finally laugh at his jokes after years of it not happening.
Mm.
But anything that he says, makes a joke out of, subsequently disappears.
Okay.
So he, like, the first time it happens, he talks about his dog, and then his dog's gone, and no one knows that his dog ever existed. He's the only person left with that knowledge.
Okay.
Can you guess what happens?
Yes.
There you go. Yeah. You've guessed. This is the thing. So many Twilight Zone episodes rely on, I know where this is going. I can track the story. It's satisfying to track the story. I'm with it. And then there's a killer twist and you're like, wow, it's really surprised me.
I haven't seen it, but from that I can tell you now what the last shot of
exactly.
that is.
You 100% can, because I did as soon as the idea is introduced.
That's a shame.
The second episode, I was like, that's fine. It's got Adam Scott, who I really like. I think Adam Scott's brilliant. And he has this... It's a It's seemingly a riff on the original Twilight Zone episode with William Shatner that became very famous.
Terror at 10,000 feet. Is it 10,000?
I don't know.
This is Terror at 30,000 feet.
It might be 30,000.
It doesn't use that original story, really. It riffs on the... It's hard to say without ruining it.
Yeah.
It riffs on the idea of something's happening and no one else will understand.
But it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing by any means.
Okay.
It revolves quite oddly around a haunted podcast.
That's weird. I do appreciate that I haven't just done a direct remake of it, though, because that wouldn't be satisfying.
No, not at all. And again, like... The initial idea, you start hearing it, and then you quickly kind of put together what's going to happen. And in this one, there is like a very slight twist, but it's just not satisfying. And this is what it's not working for me. Like, it's getting so much right. Jordan Peele's doing like basically a Rod Serling impression, which teeters on the edge of a bit cringy, but it is nice. Like, it's comforting, and he's very good. They're presenting it in a different way, though. I don't remember... They seem to have intros that then segue into Jordan Peele talking to camera.
Right.
Rather than Rod Serling coming on and being like, here's what the episode's about. See ya! but that's fine. I'm okay with that small change.
One thing I thought they might do with these ones is maybe try and do some sort of through line and link them all together.
There is definitely a shared universe happening because...
So they've got the mythology route.
Yeah, because a picture of the comedian is in the second episode. Right, and I'm sure there's like very specific shots of things that I'm choosing to imagine will appear later on. Like, there's a brand name like shown really prominently at one point. I'm like, well, that's going to be in a later episode.
Do we know how many episodes there are in this first season?
I don't, actually, off the top of my head.
I don't think there's that many.
It's almost certainly around the 10 or 12, isn't
it? Yeah, I would say so. Hopefully it gets better. Also, make it available to watch without me using a VPN in the UK, which is allowed, by the way.
I'm going to let you watch them all, and then you can tell me which ones are worth watching. How's that sound?
Yeah. I am going to watch them all, just because I'm... There's so much about it that excites me.
Okay.
And some of the the next time on Twilight Zone stuff they've shown, still interesting. Like, if they nail the ending, then it works. But it's just all a bit...
The thing is, like, both Us and Get Out are sort of Twilight Zone episodes.
Us is an homage to a Twilight Zone episode he watched when he was a kid.
It does beg the question. I know it's got brand appeal, but why not just make your own? Why call it Twilight Zone?
Yeah, it's a bit odd. Like,
Americans love brands, though, don't they?
Yeah, take that, America.
Yeah. Take your McDonald's and send it back.
Clowns! Ronald McDonald's a clown. Oh, is a clown.
I gave you a segue there, didn't I?
The clown. I ruined it by going, clowns!
I was waiting to do this when you were talking about the failed comedian. It was like, there's the segue, but I can't because there's another episode.
So much to talk about. The trailer for Joker came out.
Yeah.
Banging.
I think it's brilliant.
I love it.
It's very good.
It's very much up my alley.
I think I'm going to say you, Matt, have watched it more than anyone else in the world point.
Yeah. did the rewind theatre for it, which means that you have to watch it about 40 times.
Yeah.
Frame by frame.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, it looks... So I must say, I went into this thinking, oh God, this was going to be the one on the side that was... What's the point of this and stuff like that? So I, despite the fact, like, I love Joaquin Phoenix, and obviously Scorsese was involved in this at some point and he's now dropped out, but there's a lot of good talent in this. But I think the fact that it's like from The Hangover's Todd Phillips,
it's kind of odd.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, and also the fact that it seems it's from a production company that doesn't really seem to know what to do with these characters at the moment.
Yeah.
This might be, like, I hope with Shazam, and if this looks as good as it does, like, it's going to anchor a potential sort of, like, we just focus on characters that get their own stories.
I think that's what they've previously said, that they're abandoning an extended universe, which I don't know how long that's going to last for, but for now, I'm very happy with that to be the experiment.
So if we kind of, like, just have a brief discussion about what is in this trailer, it is effectively seeing Joaquin Phoenix's Arthur... go from being sort of what seems to be quite a troubled guy into what looks like some sort of mad revolutionary leader.
Yeah.
Like, there's loads of people wearing clown makeup by the end of it, and they're all sort of stomping outside of Wayne Hall. Like, it looks like it's going to be quite a politically motivated sort of anti-corruption in Gotham sort of film.
Well, it's also like there's the odd shot. I didn't realise that it was, God, what's Bruce Wayne's dad called?
Thomas Wayne.
I should know that. I didn't realise that was Thomas Wayne on the TV at that one point, but he's making what becomes, in that context, an extremely ironic point about a coward wears a mask, which is clearly, well, seemingly about Joker or one of his people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it really does seem to be like, maybe this is a film that's trying to paint the Waynes as bad guys while you sympathise for the Joker. Yeah. Which is it's interesting. I mean, considering we know what the Joker is.
Yeah,
and I know it's
hard to make
Joker.
Yeah, it's hard to turn someone who's always been a villain into an anti-hero.
Yeah. And kind of that's like if you've ever read The Killing Joke, which is Alan Moore's kind of famous graphic novel, which is, I'm not actually all that hot on it. I think it takes the Joker in some really, really disgusting sort of places. But what that does is, you know, it takes a man that like will do horrible things to people, but points out that like he has a horrendously tragic sort of backstory, you know, with the whole idea of him in the comic was a failed kind of comedian trying to sort of...
It's no excuse, though, is it?
Yeah, but so like he's shown as like a really pathetic sort of character that gets bought into a life of crime by, you know, this gang that's like, we're going to stick a red bucket on your head and we're going to send you to do the bad stuff. And he becomes like the Red Hood through that, which leads him into this life of the Joker. And kind of like it's almost taking that, because those are told in flashbacks in that comic, and it is almost like extrapolating that flashback into what feels almost like a sequel to Taxi Driver.
Yeah.
Well, it's a bizarre sort of tone.
It's no surprise. I don't know how much Scorsese involvement there was in this, but it is like Taxi Driver with the King of Comedy and the we were talking about The Man Who Laughs as well, Victor Hugo, but
it is the King of Comedy's like base storyline as well, isn't it? Like that's kind of mad.
Just
that
with
it's that close.
Makeup.
It's really strange. It also really reminded me of You Were Never Really Here.
Yes,
which,
very
like,
much so.
I mean, there's some easy comparisons, Joaquin Phoenix and the fact that he's like, he loves his mother and all that
and
stuff.
And it's dark.
And it's dark. But there are moments of like those weird close-ups of his face just looking slightly off camera and things. That's really
I will watch Joaquin Phoenix do most things.
Yeah.
I think if I'm pushed, I would say he was my favourite actor.
Really?
I love him.
Hello.
Although he is a bit odd.
Not DDL?
No.
Not DDL.
No.
Interesting.
I'll probably see more Joaquin Phoenix films.
God, fair play.
I know he's gone, but imagine Daniel Day-Lewis coming and doing some sort of like DC vehicle.
Batman. Oh, rugged Batman.
DDL as Batman.
Oh, yes, please.
What if he played that old Spider-Man that turns up? It's just really sad, bereaved Spider-Man.
But no, I'm well up for Joker. It looks. And what do we think on the theory that they'll have him kill Batman's parents?
I hope not.
Because it's too obvious.
Well, it's not that it's too obvious, it's just too neat. Like,
what I
never
think might happen is that he won't... Because in Tim Burton's Batman, he killed... Like, Joker is Joe Chill, isn't he? And he kills the parents. I don't think they'll do that, but I wouldn't be surprised if maybe his dad or his parents are killed as a result of
like one of his cronies.
So yeah, I think that seems to be like that suggestion that... I think it's going to be that the Joker creates almost like this army of people that are willing to follow his ideals. And the Joker, obviously, in the comics is more about the fact that he just loves it for the chaos. And I think that he'll eventually evolve into that.
Yeah.
But the problem that will be is that he's created this army of people that are willing to sort of like shoot up people for their political
gains. It's what happens to Taxi Driver, but on a more personal level, that he's almost following the crowd and eventually becomes the hero he... Did he want to be? Oh, Taxi. Yeah. We're not talking about Taxi Driver, but what a film.
But yeah, it's like the Waynes are incredibly wealthy, right? And we can see from like the banners that all of the people that are wearing the masks are holding. It's all about corporations and tax and, you know, fair jobs and stuff like that. It wouldn't be surprising if someone would shoot Wayne over that.
Yeah. No.
It does ask the question of, in this universe, what, Bruce Wayne about 12 there maybe?
Like maybe even younger.
Yeah, like by the time he's Batman, wouldn't the Joker be about 60, 65?
Cool, I mean, if you want to crowbar open sort of like the comments underneath the videos that we've made, there are an awful lot of kind of ideas of like, oh, is, you know, will this actually link to the DC films they made before? And is he going to be the father of the Joker?
I hope it's just a standalone piece that never sees a sequel.
That's what I'm hoping from it. I want it to stand as its own almost like mood piece within the wider kind of canvas.
And that is the Scorsese approach. Yeah. Like, if they really are trying to make that a thing, like, have the balls. Like, stick to that principle and don't mess with it. Just leave him alone.
Well, when is it out again?
Oh, God.
October?
It's soon.
Up for it.
I am well onto it. Earlier than that, because you've been on a trailer roll, man.
Right, whirlwind.
Been on a tear.
Avengers Endgame, a trailer, well, a special look, it was called, a minute-long special look at the Avengers that came along with it pre-ordering tickets.
When I saw that release, I thought, oh, it's just another little minute cut down. It has most new footage we've seen
in
any trailer.
I think more stuff to pick over in that than literally either of the two full trailers they've shown for
I mean, I
so
think
far.
Our breakdown...
Maybe that's why it's a special look.
Yeah. Our breakdown, I think... Was our breakdown for the Avengers one longer than the Joker one?
I think it could easily have
been.
No, it wasn't. Was it? No, looking at the time.
But
I just stretched the music.
we cut a lot of our ideas out that we were going to talk about in that trailer, because there's loads that you can dig out of that. But it's the one where you're starting to see... I get the impression that it's all taken from quite early on in the film, but we are starting to see where the plot at least might start.
Yeah.
We get to see sort of like, you know, Iron Man coming back to Earth, which suggests, you know, like he's not going to die in space, which is nice.
Yeah.
Which begs the question of any of that stuff we've seen in the other trailers from doing that.
Has it been shot?
Is that even in the film?
But that's it. It's like, why bother?
Anyway, and I don't really mind. It sets the mood of the piece.
I actually like this feeling of we watch these Avengers trailers and pick them apart and go, what does this mean? What does this mean? And then it could mean nothing. And that's really good. Like, that we can't spoil films for ourselves by being total nerds all the time.
The shot from the Infinity War trailers that everyone used, the final frame where they're all running together in slow motion. Never in the film.
The Hulk doesn't even come out.
I know, you don't see the
Hulk.
It's
absurd.
Will we see the Hulk in this one?
Yeah, definitely.
Will we?
100%. It would be insane if it don't show the Hulk.
Could just be in the suit again.
What if it's just Red Hulk? Ooh. That'd be cool as shit.
Who knows?
I don't know. Just Red Hulk's weird. Anyway, off the point. It's an interesting...
Actually, we do see Hulk in Infinity War, don't we? Right at the start, doesn't he?
No, I mean in the meat of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't want someone to pick us up.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
We do see him in
Technically, we see him for a frame inside of an Iron Man suit as well. I like that this one... There are shots in here that I'm convinced won't be in the movie. Like that shot of what looks like Thor, Captain America, and Iron Man walking towards Thanos sitting down.
That just seems an odd shot to put in a film.
It's too... Well, it's too iconic a shot to use up in an early... In a special
and
look.
It's not like... I can't think of many Marvel films where they use a slow motion shot like that. Really? That's not their style. That's not really their style.
So
that strikes much more like Superman...
Yeah.
To me.
I think Age of Ultron's most iconic shot is the spin towards the end, which is in slow motion with the Vision coming through and Captain America, I think, doing a spin through all of the gang.
It's Joss Whedon though, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah.
Grow up, mate.
I am not a fan of Age of Ultron.
No,
we're talking about that.
Not for me.
One of my least favourites.
It's in the bottom third.
Yeah.
It's the Iron Man 2 of the Avengers series.
But no, we're only, 3 weeks away from Endgame?
It's stupid.
I know.
It doesn't feel real.
I was having this chat with Dale yesterday. He called me mad. But I've thought, if you'd told me this about 2 years ago, I would have thought we're mad. I'm more excited for Endgame than I am Star Wars Episode 9.
Yeah, I think I am as well.
Yeah.
But it feels like the stakes are higher.
Yeah.
Like I'm more... in it.
I mean, the thing is as well, we've done two trilogies worth of Star Wars films before, and we kind of, J.J. Abrams is not going to take that film in the most unexpected direction, because the reason why he's making those films is because he adores what those films are, and he wants to make kind of his versions of them. You know, Endgame could potentially go anywhere.
Yeah.
And there's loads of comics that we can kind of fawn over and stuff like that to figure out where we're going to go, which, you know, might be something that I'm writing at the moment. But, we don't know how Marvel ends big 10 years worth of films, right? So it could, they could kill off half the cast because they don't actually need them anymore.
I mean, just the shot of what looks like Kate Bishop in one of the second trailer makes me suddenly way more nervous about and, delighted about where this could go.
Well, because if you put Kate Bishop into it and then suddenly you start having, if Kate Bishop... I don't know if she's the sort of character that would get her own movie. I'd love her to.
Yeah.
But that's such a different vibe, because that is much more of the, I'm a cool sort of like sunglasses wearing pretend PI in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get that in Marvel's movies. And like, if
you get it on Netflix a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. But like, if we're going that way, like that, like the idea of like, it's gone real dark and real grim over the last kind of phase. I really want to get that like Marvel spark back.
Yeah.
Like, and that's what Spider-Man is obviously doing.
Yeah.
And the idea of characters like Kate Bishop and like, you know, Captain Marvel is in her comics is fantastic because she's so sparky, so sassy. Like, that's what I want for the next phase.
I think it's, it's no accident that we've got Spider-Man and then Guardians 3 coming up soon after. Yeah. You know, they're going with some more light-hearted ones, so it's not just more just...
End of the universe, literally end of everything.
Yeah, but that's it. And like, also, Guardians is perfect for that because you can do all the fun stuff and the big stuff, but it's off-world, so who gives a shit? Like, I don't care if like the Kree are under threat because like, they don't mean anything to me. I am racist against the Kree because they've proved time and time again they can't be trusted. But there's like. Yeah, there's so much to look forward to with this. And that, like, that's partly why I'm so excited for Endgame, is because it is the end of this bit. And not that I'm excited that it's going to be over. But
it's the starting of a new slate, right?
Yeah, it presages something else. It's really good. Yeah. Also, if the Kate Bishop stuff draws on the Matt Fraction run of Hawkeye, I will lose my fucking mind. I think that's enough Avengers business.
Yeah.
I haven't used this button. We mentioned Shazam earlier. I didn't do this quickly enough. You don't need to use this button. But I like it. Shazam! That's fun, isn't it? Thanks to Warner Brothers for our
what else does he do? Oh,
snap! He says that.
Oh, snap.
Ooh.
Is that one of his famous lines?
He doesn't. I don't remember him saying it in the film.
He's more of a holy moly kind of chap.
Yeah, he should be saying holy moly on there.
Oh, well.
Also, there's a picture of him with a cup that just says, big thirst.
That's big. A big mood, isn't it?
That's a big mood. That's Twitter as fuck. Right. We've got a feature called The Endless Search, but weirdly, we're going to introduce a bit of feedback before The Endless Search, because something incredible has happened that we all messaged each other about yesterday. It reads, "Hi guys, given your newly rekindled love for UK Garage and your lack of an original jingle for The Endless Search, my band has taken it upon ourselves to write you a new jingle. We have to give them a shout out. They are Code Marla." That's Code, then a colon, then Marla, M-A-R-L-A. You can find them on Spotify, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and codemarla.com. Unfortunately, they don't normally do garage. It's usually live trap and dubstep with a rock edge.
Into it. But more garage.
But more garage. this is from CJ, by the way. I can't fully express how much I enjoyed hearing this for
like,
the first
normally,
time.
I was fully prepared to listen to this and go, not for me or something. I think we all listened to it and just went, that is genuinely good.
That's a wicked song.
It's a banger. Certified.
Yeah. Certified banger by Code Marla. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce The Endless Search.
Inside, it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we coming through. Yeah, and the ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is it in the search?
Yeah.
I can't believe
this has happened. I'm so happy that not only has Code Marla identified the tone of UK Garage, but the cliches, like, ones and twos.
That's very good.
Unbelievable stuff. Thank you so much. That I was on a train yesterday, and Dale sent this message to me just saying, please check your inbox now.
I was at the first match at Spurs' new stadium, which was a glorious occasion.
Yeah.
And I wanted to listen to it, but sadly, that would have been a weird thing to do in the middle of a full match.
Almost weirder. We could talk briefly about this before we start the quiz.
Yeah.
Has Cardi talked to you about what happened before the Spurs match at the new stadium yesterday?
I don't think you have.
The man who sings the Go Compare jingle came on and sang opera.
Not in full costume. So the man who plays him in the adverts is a proper opera singer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a massive Spurs fan. And yeah, he just came out singing Glory, Glory, Tottenham Hotspur, which was, I'm not going to lie, as a lot of things Spurs do, quite...
pathetic.
Embarrassing, yeah, yeah. Embarrassing, which ended in a massive display of fireworks from the stadium roof. And that was all before the game, which we had, you know, could quite easily not have won, which would have been embarrassing.
We got 1 point in 15, out of 15. It's like,
so I was very relieved when we won that game and wasn't the laughing stock that we quite normally can be.
Yeah, I mean, we still will be.
Yep.
Anyway, that's enough Spurs talk. Let's do the endless search. Matt, this is your first ever one.
It is.
What have you got for us?
Well, I had a look in the bin, but there was nothing. So
was that just for lunch? Or
yeah, exactly. So I'm going to do PG tips.
Oh,
which is
okay.
Obviously is an existing one.
He's riffing.
However, I do love PG tips.
However, I'm doing this on memory from when I was but a listener. Rather than
right,
so possibly the rules might have evolved over time.
Evolved is a kind way to put it.
Yeah. So I've drawn. So for anybody that doesn't know what PG tips is, which potentially is me. So I've got four films which I've taken. God, he's already looking at me.
Four's an interesting number, is all I was saying.
True. Oh shit! Because tiebreakers, right? I've ruined it.
Let's hope it doesn't come
down
to
that. Let's find out.
There is a theme that links them all, so that's
the
tiebreaker.
That could be the tiebreaker. Okay.
And the idea is that I have got some sentences that explain the content of the film in regards to parental supervision.
Okay.
And these have been drawn from IMDb. I don't know, they're normally drawn from IMDb or the BBFC?
Usually the IMDb, but the parental
category.
Guidance as provided by... Users.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I've used.
Brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
And how are we scoring this?
Right, okay. So, first one to grab it, I guess.
Just gets a point. Let's do it. Let's riff on the rules. Should we use the Shazam thing as a buzzer?
You can do, yeah, that's good.
That would just be annoying, wouldn't it?
Well, also, it's one buzzer between two of us, so it's impossible to tell.
Oh, just get on with it.
Right, okay. First film. First clue. A teen girl steals a bottle of champagne from people in a nightclub, gets drunk, and passes out.
Perks of being a wallflower.
No.
Never watched it. Mm. Spring Breakers.
No. Right.
Two very different films. Yeah.
One antagonist is seemingly invincible, having lived through several fights and being stabbed a few times. He's finished by having his neck broken. This is not explicitly shown.
Invincible. Let's not die another
right.
day, is it?
No. Let's get into something that's got a bit more of a clue. A character has his arm put outside of a moving train to freeze it off.
What is this? Oh, is it Snowpiercer?
Ding, ding.
Yes!
Well, I haven't seen that film.
He's bulletproof.
Well done, Joe.
Who's the invincible character in Snowpiercer?
I think, is it Ed... The
Ed.
Final guy, Ed, the old guy that's at the very end of the train.
Oh,
does he get?
Yeah,
does he get his neck broke?
He might be all stabby.
Yeah,
what
right.
A strange film that is.
Yeah, one to Joe. Right, next film.
Boo.
Pig carcasses are cut in half by a large saw. There is no gore, but we see carcasses get sliced and see pieces of raw, sometimes bloody meat. Nope.
Oh, that's a good shout though.
An imprisoned character is put on the conveyor in which a soaring pig carcasses, but is not harmed.
Oh, I know this.
This scene is intense.
Red track? Oh, it feels... Snatch?
No.
That has pigs. Right. I'm trying to think of any film that has pigs in it.
One man randomly combusts into flames, which appear to be due to dark magic, and is in itself quite unexpected and may be intense to some viewers.
Bursts into flames randomly.
Just coming to me, this one.
Right. This one. You might get it off this one. A character uses a cattle prod to violently shock a man on three different occasions. Although he does not die, the scene is somewhat comedic.
I feel like I haven't seen this film.
I remember all the pig bits. I don't remember the rest. Cattle prods.
A character goes through carefully explains thoughts on how he will take down men on several occasions, including dislocation of various joints, and shows breaking of several legs and ribs as they are hit in slow motion.
Sherlock Holmes.
There we go.
Oh.
Ding, two to Joe.
Yes. It's the man going through it that got me.
I have no memory of that film. I think I saw it. I don't remember anything from it.
It's not very good.
Nah,
I forgot there's like some hint of magic in there. Yeah. That's absurd.
Right. A bunch of army men are killed by an assortment of creatures. This is quite gruesome.
Starship Troopers.
Avatar.
No.
Mimic.
Nope.
Stargate.
A character is stabbed in the back by a bear trap and is then pulled up. Another character then stabs a zombie in the head with a tire iron multiple times with a knife. This is extremely bloody.
World War Z?
Stabbed in the back of a bear trap.
What was that weird Danny DeWine? Severed. Was that a film? Severance.
Severance. I never watched that.
I think I watched it as a teenager.
We see a merman eating a character.
Oh, Cabin in the Woods.
There we go.
That's the bear trap. Yeah, because it's the old zombie boys throwing a bear trap at people. I win.
I'm having a shite.
Right, what's the...
I can. I feel like I can do anything.
I still can save face.
Okay, you might... Right, last one.
Yeah.
In terms of language, this film contains one scatological term, one anatomical term, four mild obscenities, name-calling... Four religious exclamations. Bloody is used a lot. Bastard is used a few times.
Sounds British.
Only one. Sounds only British. One scatological term, though. Because I bet they say shit loads in Shaun of the Dead. No?
Could be. See, it might. Yeah, I think this is in terms of it, one use of the term rather than it being number one on the categories list. Yeah, so anyway. A woman hangs herself. We see her feet swinging off the ground.
I don't know. I was going to say something about a spoiler.
A man is held by police with a nightstick across his throat, and he thrashes and struggles to get away.
These are all a laugh,
thrashes.
Aren't they?
Thrashes.
The Prestige.
Yes.
should have got it from the woman.
Yeah.
Final one for that would have been a woman's fingers break by getting caught in some mechanism. Blood is shown, but this ends very briefly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to break my customer's fingers.
What's the link?
What are the films again?
They've all directed superhero films, directors?
Sort of almost
all
there.
Batman films?
No. So.
What are the films?
It's not
Snowpiercer, Sherlock Holmes, Cabin in the Woods, and The Prestige.
Oh, they've all got Avengers in them?
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go.
Lovely stuff.
There we go.
Well so done, what, Snowpiercer is Chris Evans.
Yeah.
What's the second film again?
Was...
I know I got it.
Cabin in the Woods.
Cabin in the Woods.
Hemsworth.
Hemsworth's in that.
Downey Jr.
Downey Jr.
And Sherlock. Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
There you go.
Very good.
There's a Wolverine in there as well. He's technically an Avenger.
Yeah, and there's a Batman as well. Oh, God. Lots of superheroes in The Prestige when you think about it.
Yeah. PG Tips is a banger of a game. I really like it. I could see that becoming part of... Well, it is part of the regular rotation. We do it a lot.
We have kind of dried up on quiz ideas, so if you want to send some in as feedback...
Yeah, we need more endless search.
IGN_UK feedback. If you think you have a hot new quiz format, if you have sent... Don't be afraid to send it again if you haven't used it, because some might have got lost.
God, we get a lot.
We did for a short period
get a lot. Got a lot for a while.
But yeah.
If you are the person that sent in general knowledge, which was a quiz all about generals.
Just know we appreciated it.
Funny joke. Not going to do it on the show.
No, yeah.
Right. Feedback. Who's number one? Matt, I believe.
Right. This is from Scott Jones.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hi, Scott. Hi, all, he says.
Hello.
Nice reply.
After listening to the latest podcast and you talking about lager tops and diesels, I thought I'd share some of the mixes I've had in the past.
Oh, can I just point out, yeah. I've had a lot of people telling me a diesel is actually what we called a snakebite and black, which is lager cider and blackcurrant.
I think they're wrong.
I believe that's a north-south divide issue.
That's not... What did we claim that a diesel was?
A diesel was, for me, a shandy but with Coke instead of lemonade.
Oh, no, that's not
what... That's a completely different beast.
No, so Scott thinks that a diesel is half a mild and half a bitter.
Oh my God,
so that's lots of different.
Half a mild and half a bitter is like not that different to either of those two things.
Diesel is just whatever your town thought it was.
I think
just
diesel's
a weird mix.
Yeah, diesel's just fucking gross.
You know, like every town in the UK has a different word for a bread roll.
Yeah,
there's about 50.
Yeah. I went to university in Coventry and they called a bread roll a batch.
It's a batch, yeah. Dale talks a lot about a batch.
I've heard, I can't remember where in the north, but a balm cake.
Balm cake. Cakes there, cobs in Nottingham,
bap, roll, There's a lot of the end, can't think of them.
None of which are a black velvet, which apparently is half Guinness and half cider.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
That sounds like it'd curdle or ferment. I don't know which would be worse.
At the moment, I'd rather have the diesel.
Right. Oh, this is what we're doing. We're rating them.
Okay. Yeah. How would you fancy yourself a Guinness Shandy, which is half Guinness, half Coke?
Oh,
I'd imagine full fat Coke.
That's a very dark drink.
Yeah, that sounds worse. Like, also fizzy, sweet Guinness.
That just sounds like it wouldn't mix. It would just separate like oil and water.
Yeah, you'd get it would be like a Sex on the Beach. Sure. You get two slightly different dark liquids.
No, that one's not for me.
No, not at
all. I'm not a massive Guinness fan in the first place.
No. Not for me.
So this is called a Hulk, which when I was at uni, used to be called a pool table.
So a lot of colours, isn't it?
A rat arsed on a pool table.
Mixed a bottle of Smirnoff Ice, Blue WKD, and Orangey Breezer.
Makes Orangey two Breezer?
Makes two pints, yeah.
Fair play. Wow. We had, I never found out what was in it. I think it was a lot of Smirnoff Ice and vodka and an extra vodka and Skittles, and they were just called Skittles in Newcastle, and that was fucking danger. Like, it was evil.
I once made, because there was, do you remember that dark period in time in the UK when Vanilla Coke wasn't freely available?
That was now bullshit.
I know, because I love a Vanilla Coke. So I went to great lengths to make my own, which involved at uni, I think, we were watching University Challenge once, and someone shouted the word semaphore in a really funny way. As one of the answers, because University Challenge has its funny moments.
Yeah, it does.
There's some people on that. And so that evening, I think I made a homemade cocktail in a saucepan, because I didn't have any big jugs or anything, called Semaphore. And it was, I believe, some whiskey, Coke, and a vanilla crusher.
That actually sounds quite good.
Yeah, it was just basically a vanilla Coke and whiskey.
Crusher is a milkshake mix. Yes. For those who don't know.
Is that still available? They had the weird cat advert.
I think so.
I remember going on a family, like, you know when two families go on holiday together, and one night all the kids were like, we're going to make dinner tonight. And we decided that we'd make everyone milkshakes and like got all the measurements wrong on the crusher, and it was just like syrup juice.
At uni, I think it might have been a very similar night, thinking, I didn't have any pasta and I had bolognese, but I had noodles. I'm like, surely this would just be fine, having noodles with spaghetti bolognese to make spaghetti bolognese. It just doesn't work and I don't know why.
What do you mean it doesn't work?
It just doesn't work right.
You're weird.
It doesn't.
It sounds fine.
Can you cook a noodle to El Dante?
Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like you're very exact. Yeah. Never making you a bowl. Yeah. Is that all of his things?
Well, I mean, he says, keep up the good work.
Oh, fair enough. No.
And try. P.S., is Jesse old enough to drink?
Yes.
Well,
not proven.
He technically is, but he doesn't drink.
So likes a cup of tea.
He loves a cup of tea, and he will tell you.
He likes a fruity tea.
When you think about it, you're always old enough to drink because you have milk.
You're an idiot.
I've got a piece of feedback
from
Alistair Simpson, who says, Duck Hunt. It's
we
rare
had
that we
that
get
for
a Duck
while,
Hunt.
And I think there's a reason, because I usually leave it off.
Oh, come on, Joe. That's rude.
It's just,
have a bit of fun.
It's
for
just
once.
A rude term.
You know what? You've forgotten how to love life.
You're right, I have. I'm going to go and play in the daisies.
Here we go. He says, first of all, I just want to say a quick thank you to Joe.
Whoa, sorry. Well done on Duck Hunt. It's fun.
Says, thank you for the Finding Drago podcast recommendation.
Yeah, that's fine, mate.
It was an excellent listen and surprisingly uplifting.
I agree. That is its best quality.
I listened to it all in a few days as well, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I think I'm going
to
go back to it. I keep trying new podcasts and not liking them.
I don't think there's a re-listen in it for me.
Oh, mate.
Just, you've got, well, we'll get on to this. Best of all, compared to the most, investigative, I've forgotten how to say the word. To most detective journalism shows, it also had an actual resolution, even if the stakes were a bit lower than Serial.
Yes.
Just a little bit.
Somewhat.
I'm also now an acolyte of the House of Noy and own both books.
Legend.
I believe you've gone down a similar path, Joe.
Yeah, I'm an acolyte of the House of Noy. I own both books. They were sent to me in a gold envelope with a stamp that said House of Noy on it, and it really made me happy.
Have you read the books yet?
I haven't. I've read the start of Finding Drago. It's very dense. There's a lot to get into.
Not many pages, though, but a lot of chapters.
Oh, yeah. And also, there's a lot of meaning.
There is a lot. I found it really deeply. I mean, I would send off for the books, but I'd prefer to just be handed them by a worthless vagrant.
But this is my point, is I don't want to keep those books. I want to keep up the idea that I'm
Can you leave them,
them
by a bus stop and then I'll just pick them up and I'll feel like I've done it the right
way?
Yeah.
Or we'll I'll just dress up as a worthless vagrant.
Yeah. Or can you just leave me voice messages of Swarmer recorded so I can live it through your voice?
I actually might do that. Yeah.
I do want to read Swarmer. This probably means nothing to a lot of people.
Means nothing to a lot of people. Also, yeah, the term worthless vagrant is a quote. It's not us attributing value or the lack thereof.
No, no, I do not think any human is worthless.
I give money to shelter, and that's all I want you to know about me.
Okay. Secondly, he just says, I've just bought an NES Classic off of eBay, as the NES was my first ever console. How soon will I be bitterly disappointed and realise I should have kept my wall memories separate from reality?
World 1-3 of Super Mario Bros. 3.
See, I also have an NES Classic, which I played briefly, but now a lot of the games that are on there are on the Switch Online, so I basically just play them on that.
Yeah, my SNES is an ornament on my desk that has accidentally slipped right to the back and I keep forgetting it's there. I spent £80 on it.
I think, sadly, those games are left at the back of your brain, the better. That was not a sentence.
SNES, absolutely. SNES has some bangers. There are games on SNES that would hold up if released now, but then it would cause the rest of time not to have those games and that would ruin everything. But that's all I'm saying. Super Metroid is a banger.
Yeah, I definitely had rose-tinted glasses about a lot of NES games.
Oh, mate, it was a shiter. We've got to admit at some point that everything NES and previous, shiter. I've got to say it.
Bit of Pong never goes amiss.
I can do. And also it's about missing. This is from Darren Dahl, which sounds like you're a lounge singer. Joe. Oh, he's addressing to me. I haven't read this. Just wanted to drop you a note. Oh, this is... Right, I know who this is. Just wanted to drop you a note and say, although you are still saying fair play with enough frequency to get me drunk in about 20 minutes, I appreciate the fact that you've noticed it and are attempting to decrease your usage of the phrase. As you've noticed, I only said it twice by accident today, I hope. That was me, not him. Also enjoyed your discussion of Sekiro. Maybe you guys could update us on your progress next week. That's this week, and we're all the same guys.
Oh, God,
where are you
how
up to
fitting.
In Sekiro?
I have hardly played anymore, because I've had quite a busy week.
Yeah, you're but, scared of it, mate.
I'm not scared of it.
Weed. You're a weed.
Wow. It's a game you have to be in the right frame of mind for.
Oh, God,
frame
yes.
of mind for, and a couple of times I've got home from work tired and late and been like... Turn it on for 20 minutes and realised quickly that it's not happening tonight.
Sad.
Yeah.
It's a sad
I've got past the ogre, though, so I had a good time being him.
Did you meet him with the flame vent? Or
I didn't in the end.
No, neither did I.
We're all legends.
I just ran away and then got a backstab on him, so it made it half as easy.
Yeah, I didn't realise that stealthing mini-bosses was quite so easy.
Yeah.
Like, you can make them reset into that.
Yeah. But then, you briefly mentioned a certain snake earlier. I went down that way. And then haven't gone back since.
Yeah, so I'm a fair chunk sort of in now. So I've done... the path sort of seems to branch. Mm-hmm. And you can either go and fight a boss I was talking to you about the other day, which is the guy on the horse.
One of the best bosses I've fought for a long time.
So there's him, and then there's Lady Butterfly, which has become like this infamous, horrible thing that people have spoken about all over Twitter. She I can't do for... Toffees.
Son of a gun.
Super light.
I know, right?
I like it.
So she is like, I'm doing well though. So my old housemates used to fucking hate me because of the amount of swearing I do when I was playing Dark Souls games. I now live with new people. Now I had to move to London.
And I'm keeping my... so just polite.
Yeah, we're all very genteel.
Very much keeping my mouth shut in the hope that I don't get kicked out of this flat.
That's fair.
So I've swerved away from her. I found that the guy on the horse I did in first time, which I was really surprised about. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Show off.
Took me a long time, but it's enjoyably...
Yeah, he's fun.
Yeah,
like but he's I found the mid-boss, because there's a mid-boss like right after him that's like, oh great, because I think the one that's after him is like a samurai that's surrounded by like five riflemen on a set of steps.
I've not hit him yet. I did that boss and I stopped.
It's like trying to get up a set of steps when there's five riflemen just absolutely pelting you with musket balls. No.
At this point, I would have just picked up a bow or arrow or something and had one myself.
Pop off.
Use some logic, mate. Come on.
But there's a fight against a bull. Have you heard about this?
I've seen a clip of it.
It's like a matador fight. And like that's been the one where I've like 4 nights in a trot I've come back. And it's only a mini boss. And it's just like trying to get, because everybody else has moved with a certain sort of speed, and then this one is just like, no, we're just putting the fast forward on like 6 times.
Oh shit.
Yeah, like he's and the whole thing is like you have to stare it down. Like you can't get around it because you're trying to obviously reduce his posture, increase his posture meter. And so you have to do it by letting it charge at you and deflect it at the final moment so that you can get like a few hits on the head. Like, boy, that took me a while.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's good.
I like the sound of it as concept.
It's the same thing like I've had with all of the Dark Souls games, and you know, and Bloodborne is a case of like you keep hitting, and then they come very, very quickly. You spend ages trying to get past something, and then it's not like you get 2 hours of respite. It's like, no, the next thing is, but they're big puzzles to work out. Yeah. And I've really enjoyed kind
I
of like.
I am determined to play it, and I'm eyeing up that Easter weekend coming up soon. Yeah. 4 days chilling.
That's a good
with Sekiro.
Nice. Actually, we can just talk about it off air because I was just going to ask you questions about the game that I haven't had answered
yet.
That's
not spurt for people. Have you had any crisps this week, Matt?
Crisps? Yeah, the new Pringles rice crisps.
Oh, yeah. They look quite interesting. Are they made of rice?
They're quite bubbly.
They're like rice crackery type things.
You can get a chive in Pringles as well.
Well, I know you can get them in the usual ones, but these ones I was having, Peking duck.
They do sound nice.
Is this going to be the regular thing when I'm on now? It's just
crisps. Seeing what mad crisp flavor you come up with.
Drinks. Garage.
My old swearing. Podcast.
Yeah,
we're living like 1999.
Bobbins. I've found another drink.
Cheese and chive walkers in UK garage. Living like it's 1999.
Yeah, we are actually just really sad old men.
Yeah, this is taking a dark turn, hasn't
right.
it?
Right. Let's brighten things up with this week's UK Garage selection, chosen by Cardi this week.
I've gone a bit off the beaten path. I don't want to break this to people. I'm not a genuine fan of UK Garage. I do appreciate the more comedic elements to it, such as your So Solid Crew or your Baby Cakes. Big fan of Baby Cakes. But this week I've gone with one that I think people will enjoy. It is Boom Selection by Genius Crew. It's time for action. It's time for action. Boom, 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 selection. From the crowd, the chemical reaction. Boom, 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 selection. Can you feel the satisfaction? Boom, 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 selection. This is a genius production. We said it's time for action. Boom, 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 selection. From the crowd, the chemical reaction. Boom, 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 selection. Can you feel the satisfaction? Boom, 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 selection. This is a genius production. Boom, 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 selection.
So what's your price, Monty?
I have no price.
£1 million.
This is getting really...
Okay, £1 billion.
Okay, £1 billion. Yeah, sure. For £1 billion, I would.
Cheers. I gotcha.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.